Samach Zayin, page 133, if there was a numeral there. We're in the middle of several different approaches that the Baal Tanya is offering here for every person to be able to relate to Ahavas Hashem. Last time we met, several weeks ago, before Yontif, we discussed an extraordinarily powerful method, and that is that at any given moment, a person can veer in the way of the Ratzon Hashem, and in a way, even more so than the Avos and the Emois were able to attain their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they did it, each one according to their Midah, we have Yerusha. We have it built into the system. For us, we can access the Ribbono Shel Olam at any given time, dependent on one thing, and that is our Ratzon to want to connect. And that's the concept that every person can be Yotzim in Mitzrayim at any given day. We could be in Mamash Tifen Dred, as they say in Yiddish. Deep in the Shmutz. And despite that, all we need to do is guide ourselves towards the Ratzon Hashem, and we've opened ourselves up to Kedusha. He is tonight going to introduce us to a concept which is going to take several prokim, but it's a concept that he deals with a great deal in numerous svarim, and it's terminology that's used in many other svarim. So although it sounds like it's very, very spooky, remote out there kind of stuff, we'll get out of it what we can get out of it, because it's going to become relevant. Perek Memchas. Bine, Kashi is Benin Hamaskil, Bigdu the Saint Seif Baruch Hu. When any thinking person begins to ponder the concept of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Kishmoy Kenu, because we need to understand, when we use the terminology of Ein Sof, that Hashem is the infinite, that's what it means. That means Ein Sof ve'ein Ketz v'tachlis klal. There is no limit, there are no boundaries to the Ribbono Shel Olam la'or v'chius ha'mispashet b'menu yizbarach. Not only is there no bound and no limits to Hashem himself, but we need to understand that even to the amount of energy, what he refers to as Ur, the light, the energy that comes forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that too is infinite. There's an infinite, boundless amount of energy that just comes, radiates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, he says, Birit Soinai HaPoshet, because that's what he wants. Umiyuchud, and that energy is unified. B'mohuse v'atzmusi yizbarach b'tachlas yichud. It is an absolute unity and oneness with Hashem. Next Nakuda, meaning, by us, if we created some kind of energy, we and the energy, no puns intended, we energies, would be separated. Right, the minute we release the energy, it's gone. It's no longer connected with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains connected and bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most intimate fashion. He'll describe that a little bit further. Now he uses a term called Hishtalshalis. What's a Shalshalis? A Shalshalis is, in modern Hebrew, is a necklace. It's a chain. Okay, that's what a shalshalis is. So, there's a concept that's used here in Kabbalah called Hishtalshalus HaElamos, which is the chain of events that leads to the creation of the world, to beginning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ending all the way with the lowest places of this world, New York City. Right, so it goes all the way from God, all the way down to the lowest levels of creation. And there's a chain. Now, what's common about a chain? A chain, by definition, has to mean that there's a commonality between one link and the next. Right? You can't have, you go to the hardware store and buy a chain, where you have one chain which is a tiny little thread, and the next one is the size of you know, the chains that they tie elephants with. That's not an effective chain, right? So chains are organized in a way that makes sense. Now, if the chain, meaning the passage of this energy, went forth from Hashem, and it went forth, b'li tzimtzumim, without Hashem withholding back, his extreme, brilliant energy. Rak seder amadregas b'madrega and madrega b'derech ilav al-olu, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo would just allow it to flow in a way of cause and effect, in a natural flow, lo yoyo ilam azen niver klal. It would be impossible for our world to ever come into existence. Why? Because our world would be so incredibly distant from that beginning source that it just could never come into being. It couldn't happen.
Why? It is created by nature.
Wait, he's going to say, he's going to explain. Meaning, if it just went straight, without withholding, it could never come into being. And he elaborates on it. Excuse me, like it is now, that our world ultimately does have boundaries. For instance, we find in Chazal, to go from earth to the first Rekia would take somebody 500 years. I'm not sure using what method of transportation. But whatever transportation would be accessible, it would take 500 years. Okay, similarly we find the same distance between each rikia and the next one. Chazal even referred to the thickness of the rikia itself. So there's a distance between each rikia and the next rikia, and then you have the thickness of the rikia itself. So there are boundaries, there's limits, there's finite distances in these things. So, okay, good. So somebody might argue, the good that applies to this physical world is limited. But Olam Haba, but the world to come, please, that's spiritual, right? Or Gan Eden Elyon, again, a very lofty, holy, spiritual place. We imagine that that's all without boundaries. Isn't that, in fact, what the whole point is? That the neshama goes off to a place that has no limits, that has no boundaries? He says, nonsense. Even the place where the greatest of the tzaddikim hang out after death. Or what about souls themselves? Are they limited? He says, I don't even have to tell you that that's the case with hamalachim, that angels, hen bibchines, gvul, v'tachlis, whether we're talking about this world and all of its rikiyas, or we're talking about the world to come, or we're talking about the world of Gan Eden, or we're talking about the neshamas of the greatest of the tzaddikim, or we're talking about the angels, all of them are limited beings. They all, either in space and time, in some form of limitation, they are bali gvul v'tachlis, they are finite beings. Next page. Ki yesh gvul la'asagosan barin soif baruch hu. Because even the tzaddikim who are in the loftiest Gan Eden, what's Gan Eden all about? Gan Eden is, the Chazal tell us, tzaddikim yoishmim and hennes miziv ha-shechina, that the righteous sit and bask and they enjoy the ziv of the shechina. They only enjoy the ziv of the shechina. Right? They still can only bask in a certain limited fashion. Hameir aleim bislapshus chachma binadas v'chulam. Ulakain, for this reason, yesh gvul lahanosan, there is a limit to their pleasure. Shenahen in miziv ashchina, they're able to bask, they're able to enjoy the rays of the shechina. Umisangim, and they take pleasure, ba'or Hashem, in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, Chazal used that word very specifically, ziv ashchina, the rays. It doesn't say that they enjoy the shechina itself. Because it's impossible for any creation, no matter what that creation is, how lofty and how great, to enjoy the infinite himself, because the minute a creation is completely and totally exposed and opened up to the infinite itself, it ceases to exist. It becomes part of the infinite. There has to be a limit. Now, v'hinei pratis ha-tzimtzumim, the details of all of these limits, eich, how they came to be, uma, and what they are, and kan makim b'yurim, this is not the place to talk about these things. Ach derech klal, but at least generally, we need to have some idea. Hein, hein, b'pchines hester v'helam. What they are are forms of withholding. They're forms of hiding, of concealment. Hamshacha so'or v'achiyus, that is, that Hashem holds back His light, His energy, His life source, shlo yor v'yumshach l'tachtoinim, so that they don't illuminate and completely draw to the lower categories of existence. Bibchin is gilui in a revealed way. Lis labesh ulahashpia bahen alachyosam nias yesh miayin. That He doesn't allow His complete, total, infinite form of energy to flow into them, to give them their existence from nothingness into something. What does He do? Ki ma'at mezeir. He allows a little bit to flow. Ervechius, enough energy, enough life source, b'chdesh yir b'b'chines g'vul v'tachlis, so that they can exist on some level with their limited amount. Shi'ara mu'etes, that is a small amount of energy, ma'oid, an extremely small amount. Umamish k'loy chashive, that little bit of energy is mamish negligible. L'gav b'chines ha'ara b'li g'vul, compared to the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tachlis ve'im b'neim erich v'yachis klal. He says, you know what the relationship between them is? Between the energy that energizes all of the worlds, Gan Eden Elyon and Gan Eden Tachton and all the Neshamas and all the angels. You know what? All of that energy, all of that aura is compared to the infinite. The relationship is gurnished. The relationship is ein erech. There's no, there are no words. They're not in the same, they're not in the same level. And he elaborates on this. Kenayda. Pirush Mirush Erech, he says, let's discuss the terminology, Erech, relationship. Bimispar, let's talk about it in numbers. Echad, Bimispar, you have the number one. Is Yesh Le Erech, it has a relationship, Ligab Bimispar, Elef Alofim, to a thousand thousands. Meaning one and a million have a relationship. One is a millionth of a million. Shuchelik Echad, meaning Elef Alofim, it's one of a million. So there's a relationship between the number one and the number 1 million. But if you want to compare the number one and compare the number one to something that has no number, they're not in the same category. They're not comparable in any which way. Is ein connected shum erech b'misparim. There's no relationship between them in numbers. Shafilu elav ve'elav v'dibet avavis, tens of thousands of thousands of tens of thousands. And nafilu kerech misma echad v'gabe elav ve'elav v'dibet avavis, elav kolay mamish chashiva. Infinite. What's closer to infinity? A million or one? Neither one. That's what he's saying. That's ein erech. No, there's no comparison. They're not in the same. They're not in the same field. They're not in the same. There's no way to compare them. Kocha mamish. He says, so too literally, he b'pchines ha'ara mu'et zu. We need to understand that this tiny amount of illumination, amislabeshes by lomis, that is contained in the worlds, el yoinim v'tachtoinim, whether it's the highest Gan Eden or the lowest point in this world, la'shpia b'em lachyosam, to give it its life source, compared ligabe erech aragonus vanelam, compared to the true light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'pchines ein tzayf, which is infinite, here we got the critical words. And that infinite light cannot be contained or nislabish, enrobed or enclosed in the world in any revealed way. It hovers above them from above. And this is the terminology called the Ur HaSeviv Kol Almin, the light that envelops all the world. Now, so we are now having a terminology. It introduces us to a Kabbalistic term called Ur HaSeviv. Okay, there's a light, a enveloping energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that hovers over the world because it cannot be contained in the world. Now, he clarifies one other point, then we'll go back. Ve'ein ha'pirish soiviv u'makiv milamayla b'b'chinis mokim chas v'sholom. He says the picture that each of us has in our minds now is wrong. Each of us has in our mind a picture of something in the center, and it's enveloped by this extreme light that can't enter it because it's too bright. He says that's nonsense. That's not the definition. It's not that it hovers above it in space. Ruchnius doesn't occupy space. This isn't a space issue. What is it? When we use the terminology that it hovers, it envelops from above, it's talking about le'inin p'chinas giloi hashpa. He's got such a great way of explaining this. That is to say, that with regard to the impact, the revelation of its impact, it can't be seen. Ki hashpa shu b'chinas giloi b'olamos. When you have a form of energy which is revealed in the world, let's use the example of a neshama in a body, okay? Anybody who's ever dealt with Chevra Kadisha knows the difference between a live body and not a live body, right? You can't see the neshama. But clearly, the neshama is having an impact on the body because it gives it its chiyus. You're able to move, you're able to think, you're able to talk, you can do all the things that a living being can do. Rachman al-Itzlan, when there's no neshama in the body, it can't do those things. So the neshama is impacting, there's a chiyus that's in the guf. Okay? But let's take it now to another step. I think he's going to say this explicitly. Let's talk about two human qualities, the quality of machshava and the quality of dibur. You cannot be tyfus somebody else's machshava. There is no way for machshavas to communicate. Machshava is an aramakif. You can't read thoughts. In order to get a thought into somebody else's mind, what's required is dibur or ksiva. You could write it, you could speak it, you can, I don't know what other methods there are of communicating thought. But thought, by definition, other than our wives somehow who are able to do it, thought by definition is a koyach, which is it cannot be expressed. There's no method for machshava to be expressed as machshava. It has to come out through another method. Okay? Let's look what he says. Other tzaynalayim is seiviv u'makiv milamayla. It hovers above le'inyan p'chinas giloi hashpa. Only vis-a-vis the way it's going to be revealed on how it impacts. If it's revealed in the world, you watch an arm move, you say, ah, that person's alive. There's a gilui of the hashpa that the neshama is able to have on them. Then it's b'shem al-basha. Then it's enrobed, it's contained. B'shem islabesh is b'olamos. It's enclosed, it's embodied in the world. K'hem al-bishim u'masigim hashpa. That's the critical thing. It's able to grasp the form of bounty, the form of energy, shemikablim, that they're receiving in an internal way, which is expressible. But any form of bounty, any form of energy, which cannot be revealed internally, it's concealed. And the worlds have no way of processing it, of grasping it, then enenikras mislabeshes, then we use the terminology that it's not enclosed, it's not absorbed into elamakefes, it hovers above, it's seveves, and it envelops. The Tzemach Tzedek points out in Derech Mitzvah Zecha that creation takes place with the Or HaSoivim, not with the Or HaMamala. You would imagine that when Hashem is bringing something into existence, it would be brought into existence with this internal existence. And in fact, the body is a very good mashal, because you have a body, and then the body is infused with the neshama. The neshama departs, the body still exists. Right? So there's an Or HaSoivim that creates. Everything that is created, Yesh Miyayin, is created with this Or HaSoivim, but sustained with an Or HaMamala. So just as a side note, we're not saying here that this external hovering light doesn't impact. It has huge impact. It creates, it sustains, it does all these things. But it has no way, just like someone were to say, well, if you can't express your thoughts, you're not thinking. Right? Someone would say, if you have no way to express your thoughts, well, I'm speaking. Speech can never fully express a thought. Thought is always, if we're normal, thought is always deeper and more profound than anything we're able to express in speech. So somebody's going to say, well, if you can't express it, you're not doing it. That's narishkeit. Just because I can't express it. Quite the contrary. The deeper the thinker, the less able he's able to express the depth of the thought. Okay? Now, four lines from the top on Samachas. Hilkach. Now, since we're dealing with worlds that are finite, is Nimtza She'en Hashpos Ein Sof Mislabish Umizgalabahem. So the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no way to express itself in a finite world. Bibkinis Gilui in a revealed way. Rak Ma'at Mezeir, just etvos, a small amount. Ha'orim Muetis, a tiny drop of illumination. Mitzum Tzemes Miyait, tremendously, tremendously watered down. Ma'id Ma'id, V'hirak K'dei L'Achyoysam, and that little bit of earth that's there is only to sustain them, Bibkinis Gvul V'Tachlis, in a very finite, limited way. Aval Iker Ha'or B'li Tzimtzum Kolkach, but the main energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is without all of these forms of withholding, Nikra Makif V'Soivev, that is called a Makif, a hovering and a Soivev, an enveloping light, Ma'acha She'en HaShpa'asim is Galus B'Techem, because its impact cannot be, there's no way for it to be revealed within them, Ma'acha She'en B'Pchinis Gvul V'Tachlis, because they're so limited. Now, again, any thinking person says, who cares about all this? Why do we care? Why does this make a difference to anybody? And you're going to see it's going to make a huge difference. Because what he's going to tell us is that when we're dealing in Torah and mitzvahs, we're not dealing with the limited forms of this world. We're skipping all the way into the Or HaSoivev. We're able to access this app, you know, if they would have it, not vodka, there would be an absolute godliness straight to the purest form of godly energy. So wait till he gets there. This is just an introduction to help us understand how this is going to impact our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems to be very, very, what's the word, out there, esoteric, but it's really not. To the point, I was once talking to Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson about this, and I said, he is obsessed with the Orient Seif. The Baal Tanya is, Mamash, he's busy with it all the time, and his other Svarim, constantly busy with this Orient Seif. Now, Baal Moshel B'zeh, he says, I want to give you a way to really sink your teeth into this. And of course, his Moshel is going to be as abstract as the ideas itself. Baal Moshel B'zeh, Hinei Ha'aretz Al Nezu Agashmi. Let's talk about this physical world. Even though the entire world, we're told, the Pasuk says, the entire world is filled of Kavod Hashem. Vayinu Or HaSoivev Baruch Hu, that means Kavod, the infinite of Hashem. Like the Pasuk says, I suffuse heaven and earth, Hashem says, not any limited form. And yet, Aval Pikei, despite that, every person would argue, I look out on the street, I'm not seeing God. I'm not seeing any revelation. There's a drop. Look at the world. Yeah, I could understand it in gradations, he says. First of all, you have the daimims of the worlds, the inanimate object, the minerals, water, right, stone, mitzvah, then I see something that has a little bit more life to it. Ooh, there's some more godliness in it that has a greater amount of God, the growing things. And so too, you go up on the madregas, then you have living things, right? And then you have another mamadaber. But ultimately, it's all very limited. Nonetheless, every level of godly energy, there's always going to be some internal that gives it its internal existence, but far more are a seviv. I want to give you just a drop of a mashal that maybe will make this a little bit more tangible. Derech HaMelech, the Pesetzner Rebbe, talks about the fact that we know that there are five levels of neshama. There's naran chai, so there's nefesh ruach, neshama, chaya yechida. Zeder Motel writes in his introduction to the Emek Tefillah, where he writes about his grandfather, the Chikasser, and it's almost humorous because in order to make a statement like this, you got to be a Ramatala. He says, in our generation, there's nobody who has the level of Yechida. The Chikasser Zeder was the last person to merit the level of Chaya. Okay, now what does that mean? It's the Piyosetzer Rebbe explains, not to interpret Ramatal, he says it in a different place. He says that all of us are constantly on a sliding scale of how much neshama we're able to internalize. Some days we are on the same level as our cats. We have a nefesh. We have as much neshama, meaning we can banish every level of godliness within us through our actions so that God just feels completely uncomfortable. And then Pita is correct. We have no business eating animals. Like the Gemara tells us that certain people should not be eating meat because Bessie and them are pretty much hanging out in the same level of neshama. They both have nefesh, right? And one says moo and the other one says but they're pretty much the same. The more godliness a person is able to bring into themselves, it's like a funnel, he says. We open ourselves up to levels of neshama. To that degree, we open ourselves up to levels of sensitivity, to hergeshim. Sometimes we're shocked ourselves by emotions that we're able to feel completely out of the norm. And then we go back later to being ourselves and we think that it was indigestion or something was off or, you know, we go see the doctor. I mean, but he says that we're all on a sliding scale. And there are times that we can open ourselves up to much higher levels of neshama. Now, what's happening there is exactly what he's talking about here. There are neshamas that become neshamas that are mamale, that are pnimi, that are internal. And then there are the rest of those levels of the neshama are ours. They have our name written all over it. But they're hovering above us. They become an orasoviv to us. We make the decision, how much do we let in, how much do we banish on an ongoing level. Now in the world, it's structured in such a way that stones have a certain level of kedusha. Yet the stones of the Kodesh HaKadoshim are not the stones of the Wisconsin Dells. He says, they're stones and they're stones. Right? I mean, it's rolling stones. Now, so this is his mashal. So he gives another mashal, okay, just in case that one wasn't remote enough. You see the line begins with a karev? Let me give you a mashal. Come here, Adam. He says, I want to give you a mashal from a person. Let's say you had an experience once and you saw a really complicated piece of equipment. Yeah? You saw something. You really understood it. You had a grasp of it. You got it in your head. Okay? Or while you're looking at it. It doesn't even have to be in the past. Your mom is looking at it right now. Is hine av shekol guf etzem adavar hu v'gabay v'toyche v'toyche. Let's imagine that you really got a good handle on this piece of complicated machinery. You got the outside and the inside and the gears and the wires and the whole mechanics of it. You all got it. Mitsuya b'dayta, you all got it fashioned, clearly delineated in your mind. Because you're seeing it right now. Or you saw it in the past. Hine nikras data makefes adama hukule. It's fair to say, he says, that your mind is completely enveloping that piece of machinery. You got it. Us is klara rice. You got it. You got the whole thing clear in your mind. Okay? Adavahu mukev bedaita. So that object is now enveloped by your mind, the makshavta, and your thoughts. But one thing is very clear. You do not have the lawnmower in your brain, Baruch Hashem. The lawnmower is not inside of your head. You got the whole thing, the structure of it, you got it all worked out to the last gear. But b'payel mamish, it's not in your head, Baruch Hashem, right? Rak b'dimyon, it's in your imagination. Machshav es ha'odem v'date, it's in the dimyon, it's in the imagination of your mind. You got it all very clearly pictured. Avla kodesh baruch hu. But when it comes to Hashem, Tichsiv Bey, about whom it says, Kidlai Machshava Yisai, Machshava Yisaychem, that his thoughts are different than our thoughts. In what way are his thoughts different? Says the Baal Tanya, I'll tell you how. Ki Harei Machshav Tevidaitoi, because in Hashem's thoughts and in his mind, Kaviyachol She Yoidea Kol HaNivroim, he knows every creation in a way that we cannot know. What does that mean? He literally is my kefas called Nivra v'Nivra. Miroi sheva tachtisai. By us, the lawnmower is not in our machshava. By our Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything is in his machshava, literally and figuratively. He envelops everything. He is makif around everything. It literally is inside of him. How come a poel mamish is literally in his mind? By us, it's in our imaginations. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's literally like that. Lamashal, he says, Kadar Aretz Alazu, this ball called Earth. Harei Yediyosi Yisbarach, the Rebbeinu Shlom's knowledge, Ma Kefes envelops, Kol Oive Kadar Aretz, every aspect of this, the sphere of the Earth. V'chal Hashem Toichai, everything that's in it, V'tech Toichai, and in the inside of the in it, Ad Tachtisai, until the deepest depths, Hakod b'poil mamish, everything is literally enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shari yediyah zu, chiyus koloi v'kad oretz kulai. He says, it has to be that way. Because that knowledge itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the world, is the world. It is that which is energizing, which is giving sustenance and meaning and purpose and the very existence of the world itself. V'zavu say, and it, at this moment, that knowledge is making it, it's bringing it into existence, me, I, and the ash from nothingness into something, Nix. Rakshle hoya mishavik kemay shu'ata ba'al gvul v'tachlis v'chiyas mo'etis ma'ayid k'dei b'pchinis dema v'tzameach. But in order for the Rebbeinu Shlom to bring it into the world, for Everest to be Everest and not to be infinite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to withhold an incredible amount of the Aryan Seif, so that it's only Everest, and it's not infinite. Because otherwise, without withholding and all of the constrictions, these awesome constrictions, that he held back his energy, his life source, which is enclosed, embodied in the ball of the earth, lachiyos of the kaimai, bibchinis gvul, to give it its existence, to bring it into existence in a limited way, v'tachlis, ubibchinis daimim v'tzameach bilvad, each level, meaning, he allows earth to be earth, trees to be trees, whales to be whales, each one according to its level. What's the Shem Hashem that's associated with this? Shin Dalad Yud, right? The Gemara says, Sha'ama le'olam ayday. The world was expanding and expanding. Hashem said, stop. Each thing, the Rabbi Yerushalayim allowed the energy to flow a certain amount, and then he put a stop to it. See, each thing, the Rabbi Yerushalayim stopped the existence at a certain point. But the difference between our machshava and his machshava is we can know something, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that thing. He is one with that thing. Why? And he quotes the Rambam. Because God is the knowledge, the knower, and the known. And by knowing himself, he knows all of creation. But it's not like the knowledge of a human being, which is external. There's the lawnmower, and there's my knowledge of the lawnmower. Because every knowledge, every creation is known to him from inherently from himself. And then he Baruch Hashem relieves us with the following message. This is something that really none of us can comprehend. So we're all safe, Baruch Hashem. This is something which is beyond human grasp. We cannot grasp the idea that Hashem's knowledge is one and that knowing himself, he already knows all of the world. Because this knowledge itself is infinite. For this reason, it is not referred to as his energy is enclosed and embodied in the globe. It's not in it. It hovers above it and over it. Even though that this knowledge is all-inclusive, the entire depth and thickness and airspace and density of the world, and it is what is bringing it into existence at this moment, that this Arasev of itself is that which brings it into existence, but nonetheless, it is too great to be contained in it. And in the next parak, he's going to tell us why this is important to our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why this knowledge, this distinction between a Aram Amala that's able to be expressed within something and this Ara Seva which is too great to be expressed, why in some way that's going to be relevant to our love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.